Positive Chaz Podcast for Tuesday, August 9th, and it could not be more excited to have along with us this morning Dr. Cliff Robertson Jr. The book is called Your Life Matters, The Toolkit to Change Your World, and there's a lot in this. I'm excited about this next half hour. A former homeless veteran, and he's just been through it. You know, what's intriguing about that doctor is we kind of get stuck into a rut. And before you know it, we kind of feel like that's all life is, and we don't transition from one place to another. And you went from homeless, and here you are writing books and pulling other people out of it. Good morning. How are you, Dr. Cliff Robertson?
Well, good morning, Chris. It's such a joy to be here today, and I just want you to know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, there is no way that I would be even have the capacity to sit here and talk with you today.
You came through war. And you came through homeless, and you've just been through it, you know? And I have a feeling you've probably experienced a lot of things that many of us, we've heard of, and I'm hoping to kind of shed some light because your book is out. You know, you're tour guiding from people from point A to point Z. You are a vet. So let's talk about where you served and which branch and how long and where you've been, and let's talk about that.
Sure.
What's your history? What's your background?
Sure, absolutely. I served in the United States Navy for a little over 6 years. I was an air traffic controller during a Desert Storm. I was on an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf twice. And, you know, to me, it was the best job in the Navy. But, you know, I enjoyed what I did. But the, the truth of the matter is there are so many veterans that, went through that experience and other experiences since then that, you know, they can't forget. They just simply can't forget. But I was able to, to serve with distinction. I had some challenges there with when I was working an aircraft, an F-14 on final approach. The pilot got vertigo and almost drove into the back of the ship. So that, And that was pretty traumatic, actually. He missed the back of the ship by about a foot, from what I was told. And
wow.
Being the one trying to talk him down was, something you never forget, something you never, I'd say get over. You do get over it, but the marks it leaves behind can be challenging.
It's one thing to really be in the service. It's something else to serve. And I remember that war, Patriot missiles, Skid missiles, and it was against Saddam. I think the war itself lasted, I think, about 6 months, if that long. It was relatively short.
Right. But what was interesting is the activities were ongoing because Saddam Hussein would get a, because, we hadn't really got to him yet at that point. I mean, it wasn't until actually years later that we actually really got to him. But the, what was interesting is we were pulled out of the Gulf and then to go support another region that the operations off of Bosnia, Herzegovina back then, and it was really horrible things going on there. And we got pulled back because Saddam Hussein started marching troops up and down the Kuwaiti border again, looking like he was getting ready to, initiate another attack. So we got pulled back over to do more flight operations and support for everything going on there. I mean, he was just like that. He was just like that thing that just never goes away.
Yeah.
This world has some bad people, and he was certainly one of them.
And you find yourself in war. Fast forwarding a little bit. So now you're dealing with post-war stuff. Before you know it, someone who served our country is now homeless, and you're left scratching your head as an American citizen like that. How does that, that shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, that is a story in and of itself. And in fact, my first book actually talks about that. It's called Transformed. Going through some of the challenges I went through kind of put me in a challenging place. But what really brought me down in that, that brought me to that place was I ended up losing my wife and little girl in a car accident.
Mm.
And, that is beyond anything that I would wish for anybody to ever go through. And, I made all the mistakes I did. I did everything I could wrong and spiraled. couple of times I wanted to end my own life. There would be a lot to unpack there, but really and truly, you get to a point where you feel like you're worth more dead than alive. And if it hadn't been for, you know, another book that God put in my life, Where Is God When Bad Things Happen? And continuing to think about my son, I probably would have, you know, except for God and what he provided, I would have. So I pulled out of that a little bit, but I just continued to make bad decisions. And, you know, to be honest, Chris, my decisions got so bad, the federal government decided they needed to manage my decisions for a period of time. I'm just being honest with you here. I spiraled pretty hard, and I went to federal prison for about 5 years. But I have to tell you that it was what needed to happen to stop my spiral. But when I got out of that, was when I was homeless. Because I had nowhere to go. I look at it this way. I lost everything twice. I lost everything when I lost my wife and little girl. Then I lost everything and all that. And what's so amazing is, you know, God restored in a way that is beyond anything that I can sit here and really talk about. But what I found in all of that is that regardless of where we are, regardless of what we're doing, our life has meaning, our life has a purpose. And that's what kept drawing me back off that the edge of that proverbial cliff, no pun intended. And that was really part of the impetus of this book, because as I now work as a counselor with some of these folks, you know, I founded a nonprofit that is a veterans homeless shelter, counseling center, and vocational training facility. But as I work with veterans and others as well now, that same mantra keeps being repeated with those that are in that pit is, you know, I'm worth more dead than alive. There's no value to my life. And what I've discovered is, you know, helping them to see their worth, helping them to develop a why for living works. It works.
Yeah.
And it really can be a toolkit to change your world.
So we're on with Dr. Cliff Robertson, Jr. The book is called Your Life Matters, The Toolkit to Change Your World. He is a former homeless veteran, and he's also the founder of the Warriors Refuge Host. His purpose in life is to tour guide those who have been where he is and take them into a new tomorrow. Cliff, I got to give you a lot of props because, Doctor, I mean, for you to read books and to have the motivation and the drive after everything that you've been through, that takes a lot of something to be motivated to move yourself forward.
I would love to tell you that I've done it on my own, but I have a beautiful wife that, she is my muse. She also does a really good job of editing things for me. Mm. She's an inspiration. She's a former school teacher, she's an awful lot of my why right now as well. I just have to say, Chris, that for those that are out there listening, and I know for every 100 people that are listening, there's several that are thinking that their life is over, and I just want them to know that their life isn't over, that there is more, that as long as they're still breathing, they have a purpose, and that their life matters far more than they could imagine. One of the things that keeps coming back to me, and I just want to share this real quick, because I think it's important that we're kind of, and I'm kind of walking down this vein, I love to share this part of the story, and it's not necessarily my story, but I'm a part of it. I was working with, and this is part of the kind of the why for the book too. I was working with, this counseling client and he was struggling. You know, he was saying all those things, you know, there's no reason for my existence and all that. He goes, I'm not thinking about, I don't think I would ever, end my life. But of course, people who are really serious about ending their life, a lot of times don't even talk about it. But anyway, he was talking, and I just said, hey, wait a minute. Let's think about this a minute. You say your life has no purpose. How many people do you serve in your job each week? He says, well, I serve about 30. He said in a positive way, yeah, I help people in what I do. Okay. How many people do you serve? You volunteer in your church. How many new people a week do you serve in your church? Well, there's about 150, so I would say probably 50 new people a week. So that's about 80 people a week you're having an impact on. And you do the math on that, and in 4 to 5 years, and he'd been doing this job for about 20, in about 4 to 5 years, you're filling the Staples Center with people that you have positively impacted. In other words, you have a Staples Center arena full of raving fans that would say, this man mattered to me. This man made a difference in my life. And as I began to talk him through that, and we worked through the different things and the different ways that he was impacting his world, it was almost like it's a Wonderful Life moment where the angel jumps in the river ahead of George Bailey, and George Bailey jumps in and saves him, and then shows him everything. The differences in his life if he hadn't been there, so therefore all the differences he had made during his life, and all of a sudden now this man is back having an engagement with his kids, and is back having a good positive relationship, and is now helping others do the same thing, and it's empowering to see. It's inspiring to see. And I would challenge anybody listening to do that math and to really think about how many people you impact on a daily basis.
Did anything that he experienced part of the tools inside of your toolkit?
Yeah. Actually, that one right there is a big part of it. And one of the other parts of the toolkit that I'm really big on is limiting our and controlling our inputs into our life. Who are we? Who and what are we listening to? I mean, are we listening to positive things like this show? Do we have that kind of input coming in, or are we getting buried in the muck and the mire of what can be a downward spiral into social media sometimes? Are we listening to positive, reaffirming people, or do we have the negative person that where life is always against you? I mean, where's our input coming from? And that's another one. I find it interesting that, the people who invented the social media platforms and who were the founders won't even let their own kids have accounts. That should tell us something.
Yeah.
And the studies have been done to show that anybody who spends more than 30 minutes on social media each day has a higher rate of depression than those that don't. And people have killed themselves over it. I mean, fear of missing out and, all those things that are just, that are just really, really, we have to work on, controlling our inputs, garbage in, garbage out, good stuff in, we change the world.
I'm hoping this doesn't sound too innocent. We talk a lot about empowerment, and we talk a lot about how veterans, like in your book, can change their lives. But we also talk heavily during an election season about what the government needs to do to take care of our veterans. What the government needs to do is this. Government has to do this and that. How monumental is government and how they can take care of our veterans who suffer from, let's say, PTSD and other mental issues?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to say this, that, when I look at what the government is doing, and I'll be honest, I believe that the government is doing a lot. And I realize that's not always a popular sentiment, but the government does more than most people realize. But here's the challenge: is I believe two things. One, I believe the problem is bigger than anybody truly realizes. Because I mean, with 100,000 or so vets on the street each day, homeless, and with the population of those that are at risk of becoming homeless at well over 1 million, The problem is far bigger than most people fully can fully grasp. The VA is throwing, like I said earlier, $200 billion, you know, at mental health. That's a lot of money. I think the problem is bigger than money, though. I think the problem is in our mindset, how we approach this, how we live this. And I guess what I'm saying is, I think each of us play a role in this. I think each of us can have that little positive impact on our world in ways that we can't begin to to realize. I mean, you know, when somebody tells me, "Thank you for your service," I have to say that inspires me. That makes me think and consider, you know, that really was good. That really was positive. You know, when, you know, you see the Vietnam vet, you know, wearing the ball cap and you say something to him, you buy him a cup of coffee, not because he needs the money, but just as a way of saying thank you. Yeah. That lifts them up. You know, I was reading and I wrote about this the other day. There was a guy that, as part of his daily routine, he would buy the coffee in the drive-through line for the person behind me, and he never knew if it had an impact or not. He just kept doing it because he just wanted to do it. He just wanted to be of service. And then one day he read in the newspaper in a letter to the editor about a guy who was writing about this guy who had bought him coffee in the drive-through, and that very day he was thinking that he was going to go end his life. That was his plan that day. He was going to go get his cup of coffee, which was his morning routine, and then go drive off in the country and end his life. But because he was behind this one guy who bought him coffee, we had no idea who he was, it made him think, it made him pause to think that, wow, somebody really does care. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that in terms of a veteran, though. I mean, we can keep saying government this, government that, and you know, I work with the government every day with shelter. I mean, they're a big supporter of homelessness. Are they doing everything they could? I'm not sure what else they could be doing, just to be brutally honest. As somebody who is technically a VA contractor, as a nonprofit, we contract the VA for our beds. Could they do more? Yeah, probably, but honestly, I'm not sure what it is. I mean, really and truly, they do an awful lot. And I think it begins to fall on us. I really do. I think we need to care more as a nation, as an individual, as a church, as a community, than we probably do.
Well, the book is extremely insightful. Do you talk about mental treatment, like some of the programs we go into for veterans or should have a faith base? There's so much in your toolkit, and it really takes someone who is in the position that you are in, who has experienced the kind of things that most of us will never even see, to be able to speak that language and to get them from point A to point Z. We're on with Dr. Cliff Robertson Jr. The book is called Your Life Matters. It's the toolkit to change your world. He was a former homeless veteran himself. He was suicidal. Now he hosts a podcast. He has the book out and doing everything that he can possibly do to change your life. If you're a veteran, whatever it is you're going through, if you need that answer, there's a good chance Dr. Cliff is going to have an answer for you. So, Doctor, where do we, A, find the book, and where do we find your podcast, and three, find you online?
You can find the book at, you know, at Amazon, you know, or any other place where you would normally buy a book. It's Your Life Matters, the toolkit to change your world. You can find the podcast. I'm on Voice America, the Voice America Empowerment Channel, and the show is called Your Life Matters Today. And you can find me online at drcliffrobertsonjr.com. I've got a blog. I'm getting ready to start doing some speaking around the country. So there's that. I'm a counselor, and we're getting ready to kick off some in-person and virtual, groups for PTSD and other types of mental health challenges. So be be on the lookout for that as well. And, you know, it's exciting. You know, it's exciting to serve and to see, you know, see the differences that can be made.
You know, I think on a lighthearted note, I think if someone had told you years ago when you were homeless that you would be doing this, I bet you would have been like, uh-uh. Good chance you'd be like, no, I'm not doing that.
I had absolutely no clue. And I just look and see how doors open. You know, we can try to force our way through and this or that, but really and truly, when we're, heck, I don't have a good explanation for it other than to say that, you know, you just keep doing the things that, you know, that matter to you the most. And, you know, the door is open. Yeah. The door is open.
Well, Dr. Cliff Robinson, extremely humbled to host this interview and to get a chance to meet you today. There's oftentimes a lot of moments when you catch yourself almost at a loss of words when speaking with military. I catch myself with that often because you have experienced so much and the stress that you've dealt with and the things you manage, and to see you build a bridge from someone's past to their future is extremely humbling to have this opportunity. And thank you again for your service. Can I pray for you on behalf of the station before we cut you loose this morning?
I'd be honored. And one more thing before we go, I know we're just about out of time, but One of the things I want everybody to know is while you may not have served, each time you thank a veteran, you are serving. Mm. So that's important.
Father, we thank you for Dr. Cliff. And, you know, I don't say this lightheartedly, but we thank you for his life and everything that he's experienced, everything that he's really seen, and the fact that he can share stories and speak the language of those who have been through it. God, it feels like it's a whole other world that some of them have gone through in order to sacrifice and to preserve freedom and really preserve the integrity of our nation. Father, we thank you for Dr. Cliff and really his brothers that he served alongside with, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. Father, we thank you as he writes his books and as the words come out through his podcast. Father, we thank you for a forward-thinking faith, and we thank you for energy, and I thank you for an ongoing spark of always fresh ideas, and I think just freshness in general, that he'll always be renewed, that his faith will be renewed, his mind will be renewed, his body will be renewed, that you renew everything about him, because Father, he's going to have a lot of energy to be able to serve those that he served alongside with. And God, we bless you for being the source of all things, for changing his life, and for moving him from where he was into where he's going, from his here to there. And we bless you again for doing your thing and being God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, sir.